From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Va'era, volunteering our lives for God. Can you volunteer your life for God? Can you say, well, look, Jewish law doesn't require that I give my life for God in this particular circumstance, but, you know, I'm a great guy and I want to go beyond the letter of the law and I'm going to give my life for the sake of God. Or no? What gives you a right to take your life? After all, the Torah says, V'chai b'hem v'shaloshi yomos b'hem, should live by these laws, not to die by them. Well, let's learn the Gemara Pesachim 53b. It says there that Todus Ish Romi came up in Daf Yomi today, a certain Roman authority who made the following interesting interpretation. He said, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, the friends of Daniel who jumped in the fiery furnace rather than bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, why did they volunteer their lives for God? He says, well, they learned from the experts. Who? From the frogs. You see, this week we had a plague of frogs. And he said, Todus Ish Romi says, look, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three friends of Daniel, said to themselves, look, we know that the frogs were in the ovens. Now, why would a frog go in an oven? It's hot in the oven. Isn't that stupid? So the answer is, Hashem says, they're going to go in the oven, so they went in the ovens. So when Hashem said, go in the oven, they went. So, but they were not commanded to give their lives for God. And yet, they went in the oven. So we, who were commanded to give our lives for God, to sanctify God's name, we should certainly jump in the oven. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? The reason they have to jump in is that they were in public. In public, you have to jump in, even though maybe it wasn't a real idol, it was just a statue. But it was in public, and in public, you have to give your life for God, even if it's a small mitzvah. Like, let's say someone says, eat this non-kosher thing, so, or I'll kill you. So if it's in public, they make the rabbi to eat non-kosher in public, he gives his life so that to tell everyone that he is sanctifying God's name. So the Rabbi Tom says, no, the thing is like this. They didn't have to throw themselves in because the idol wasn't an idol. It was just a statue. So it was just for his honor. So that's the question. Why did they do it? So he said, look, we don't have to do it. But just like the frogs didn't have to because they weren't commanded to sanctify God's name. So we don't have to do it either, but we're going to do it anyway. So they apparently volunteered to give their lives. And Tosfot says, you can volunteer to give your life. And there may be a historical association here as well, because Tosfot are Ashkenazic Jews, and the Ashkenazic Jews, not too many hundreds of years ago, before in 1097, Jews killed themselves and their families because they didn't want to submit to the Christians who were forcing them to worship Christianity. So we say, well, how did they volunteer? That they voluntarily threw them, gave their lives, and they should wait for the Gentiles to kill them. Why did they do it? So we say, no, you can volunteer to take your life for God. But it's a debatable point about what the Jews in the time of the Crusades did. Different question. Rabbi Asher Weiss deduces from here that Tosfot would say that although Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah did not have to jump in, they did it anyway to sanctify God's name. However, the Rambam famously in the laws of Yesodei Torah, the foundations of the Torah in chapter 5, where he talks about Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. Generally, it says the Rambam, how we sanctify God's name? By living, by not killing ourselves, by not letting the Gentile kill me, and violating the Torah in order to show that the Torah is a living document. It's v'chaiba, and that's how we sanctify ourselves. But for the three big things, for idolatry, immorality, and killing people, murder, we would die rather than do any of those three sins. But if there's a situation, such as, let's say, eating non-kosher, where you don't have to take your life, and the person did, then you deserve to die just for that. It's a terrible crime, a capital crime. to allow yourself to be killed when you shouldn't allow yourself to be killed. So let's say they say this jacket is a mixture of linen and wool, and you should wear it, Rabbi, and we're going to wear it in public. So you say, no, you should wear it. You should wear it because the Gentile told you to. So you should. So really, you should wear it because we don't. Other than the three cardinal sins, we violate the Torah in order to sanctify God's name. If he decided, no, he'll let the Gentile kill him. He doesn't want to wear this jacket. Then, according to the Rambam, that would be a capital crime. It's a terrible thing. Blood is on his head. Of course, he's dead anyway. But if he was alive, we would kill him for it. God would get him for doing such a thing. So the Tosafot says you can volunteer to give your life for God. And Rambam says you may not. The Tosafot and Azara is quoted like this. Tosafot says explicitly in Avodah Zarah 27b, if you want to take on yourself to give your life for God, you're allowed to. Because we find that Abba ben Zimra in the Jerusalem Talmud, what did he do? And the Gentile told him, eat this non-kosher. If not, I'll kill you. So he says, fine. If you want to kill me, kill me. So the Gemara says, Machmir, the Tosafot says, look, he wanted to be extra strict. It's true, he didn't have to give him his life for a ham sandwich, but he decided that he would. And probably wasn't in public, so he didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. So we see that if you're very pious, we see that you're allowed to volunteer. You're allowed to volunteer. Now, if you're not allowed to volunteer, then why did the friends of Daniel jump in if it wasn't necessary, if it wasn't really idolatry? So there are two answers. Shid ibn Gubet says, a medieval commentary, he says, it was a type of Maris Ayin. Look, it looked like they were bowing to an idol. It wasn't really an idol, it was just a statue in honor of Nebuchadnezzar. But it looked like bowing to an idol. So they gave their lives because of what it looked like, because of appearances. Rabbeinu David on Pesachim, it's a wonderful commentary on Pesachim. Rabbeinu David says, the student of the Ramban, he says, "Kol sheish bo in kiddush Hashem roi la'alim tzaratzmo." He says it was a little bit of a kiddush Hashem. Why? Because the statue said, "You know who you should bow down to? The statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Is he God? No, he's not God. But that's what you should bow down to." That's not a Jewish way. That's not a Torah way. We don't bow down. We don't give that much honor to a person. So since honoring Nebuchadnezzar decreased the honor of God, it was an insult to the honor of God. There was an element of Kiddush Hashem. And if there's an element of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying God's name, then one does it. Now, this notion of volunteering comes up in the Radvaz as well. The Radvaz lived in Rav David ben Ibn Zimra, and he lived in Egypt a few hundred years after the Rambam. And he asked the following question. They said that the Rivo, one of the Baalei Tosfos, when he got really sick on Yom Kippur, the doctor said, if you don't eat, you're going to die. But if you do eat, you still might die, but you might live too. So he says, look, if I eat it, then if I don't eat it, then I'll definitely be violating it. But if I do eat it, I still might die anyway. So I should eat it when I might die. So he didn't want to eat it. And he died. May his soul be blessed. And somebody wanted to ask the Radvaz, wanted to know, did he do the right thing? Is that the law? So he said, no, you can't learn from there because there's a general rule. If you even have a shadow of a doubt, that someone's life will be taken, someone might lose their life because they didn't eat on Yom Kippur or something, then you have to push off Shabbos. You have to violate Shabbos to save someone's life. You have to violate Yom Kippur to save your life. Even if it just, he'll only live for another day. Could have lived for 2 days, but because he ate, he's only going to live for 1 day. That's also important. So he says, or maybe he could make it to next Shabbos. Even if we don't even know if he can make it, we should still violate Shabbos in order to possibly give him longer life. So he says, but it's true. The Tosafot would say you could volunteer to give your life. He says, He says, still, that's only if there's a Kiddush Hashem. If, let's say, this fellow who was told in the Jerusalem Talmud, you know, if you don't eat the treif, I'm going to kill you. So maybe by not eating it, the Gentile would say, wow, look at these Jews. No matter what, they don't want to eat they don't want to violate the Torah. It would be a Kiddush Hashem. But over here, what's a Kiddush Hashem? It was Yom Kippur and he died? It's against the Jewish law. There's nothing, you don't get anything out of it. Is that a Miz Chasidus? He's killing himself. So you can't learn from the Riva. And it's now, so what was Riva thinking? So firstly, he might hold like the Tosfos, but secondly, he is one of the Tosfos, but the Radvaz says, you know what? A person knows their own soul. He knew he was going to die anyway. So he figured, might as well, even if I eat, I'll probably die anyway, so I just won't eat. But he himself believed that was the wrong thing to do, and you shouldn't do that. However, it is interesting to note that Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Avoda, says that one time there was a fellow who gave his life he quotes the Gemara in Erev in 21b, that Rabbi Akiva was once in jail, and there was a fellow there who gave up his life so he could wash his hands. He had ration water. He needed the water. Instead of drinking it, he used it to wash his hands. And he said, I'm not going to go against the sages, as we learned in Daf Yomi today, page 19 in Brachos, that making light of the washing the hands is a terrible thing. So he says, I'm not going to make light of washing the hands. And if I die, I die. But how could you volunteer to die for God? I mean, we don't die to wash our hands. So the answer is, Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you're extremely pious, it's different. In other words, if someone is an extreme pietist and he does this, so that's in keeping with their extreme pietism. That they don't want it, that they'd rather not eat the treif, they'd rather die. Maybe that's the Yushalmi. Maybe that's this Gemara over here on Erev in 21b. But for a normal person, you cannot volunteer to die for God. On the contrary, the Chayvam that God wants you to live through the Torah, not to die through the Torah, unless the cardinal sins, they're so severe, that then we say, that's a different story. Then you have to give your life not to kill, murder, commit idolatry, or immorality. So that's the conclusion. The Rambam thinks you can volunteer to die on Kiddush Hashem. The Tosfos thinks you cannot. And it seems the frogs may have volunteered as well. Generally speaking, you do not volunteer. Follow the Rambam. Don't volunteer to die. There are only limited circumstances where you could sanctify God's name in order to bring greatness to glory to God's name. Those circumstances, we give our lives. Otherwise, it's forbidden to give our lives. It's forbidden to not eat when the Jewish law says you should eat. It's forbidden to not violate Shabbos and lose your life. Generally speaking, v'chaybam, lo shiyomus b'hem, the greatest kiddush Hashem, the greatest sanctification is God's name. It's for people to know that in Judaism, life comes first, except for a few rare exceptions. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lameth Congregation for a discussion of giving our lives. Welcome, and thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, and join us each week for a discussion of the holidays, Parsha, and more. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.